What's that? Majestically cresting the horizon as it makes its way into port. Why, it's the brand new HyperX Armada monitors, mounts, and arms. Both the HyperX Armada 25 and 27 gaming monitors come bundled with a sturdy HyperX Armada mount and arm. If you need every split second of advantage when gaming, the full HD Armada 25 and its 240Hz refresh rate are for you. If you like to soak in the graphical majesty of your gaming, you'll be eyeing the Quad HD Armada 27 with an 165Hz refresh rate. Set sail for HyperX.com or Amazon.com to start making your display Armada.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, Jeremy. This is some fancy, fresh new sunglasses from Gooder.
Thank you. They're from Gooder.
Amazing. 10 out of 10.
If you go to gooder.com/chat and use offer code chat, you can get free shipping on your first order. And we're here to tell you that these are some really good sunglasses. They were kind enough to send us some pairs, and I went ahead and bought myself a couple more pairs after they got here because I was very impressed by them. I got the Spider-Man Promising Young Web Developer. These are white shades with a web pattern along them, and I'm a big Spider-Man fan. They come in these cool, soft glasses bag that's got Spider-Man stuff all over it. It's just a cool
I'm very jealous
marketing
of that
thing.
Soft glasses bag with Spider-Man stuff all over it.
They're very neat. They all come with the soft glasses bag, too. So it's not just
right.
The Spider-Man
but,
one that gets the...
But I'm jealous of the... I have three soft Gooder bags, and I'm very jealous of the one that looks like Spider-Man that you have, because mine, although very soft and wonderful, do not have Spider-Man things all over them.
What's your favorite one that you have, Brian?
It's the Pineapple Painkillers. We talked about them the other day. They are fancy fresh, and just it's a good color scheme. I like them. Tiffy has the Au Revoir Gopher, which is like white with pink lenses, and it's pretty cool.
That's very, very fun. I personally picked up a pair of the Side Scroll Eye Roll. I couldn't resist the naming convention, and I do absolutely love them. They are my new favorite pair of sunglasses. And then as a resident ginger, I also picked myself up a pair of Ginger Soul, which do look great with everything. They're just, they're very sleek, all black frames, with very, very dark. It feels like they're extra tinted. I don't believe they are, but it feels like they're extra tinted. So my sensitive pale eyes, I don't have any issues, like, seeing the blinding sunlight when I do venture out of my dark cave.
They all have fun names. They're great. They're comfortable. They don't bounce around. They're really lightweight. I had said before, my partner, she does running. She knew about Gooder beforehand because they're great for people that do active things like biking or running, things like that.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Honestly, when they say no slip, they really do mean no slip. I have my regular glasses have little feet on them. They do not stay as well as the Gooder sunglasses do.
When I'm walking the dog, I'm constantly like on my phone. And so I just use my phone to push my glasses back up, and I don't have to do that with the Gooder ones.
But yeah, they're gray sunglasses. They start at $25 each. Go to gooder.com/chat. Use offer code chat to get free shipping on your first order. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. They'll take care of you. Go to gooder.com/chat. Use offer code chat. Get free shipping. These are gray sunglasses. Thank you very much, Gooder, for supporting us. Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. In our last episode, we came face to face with a temple, our first temple here. And in this episode, we are going to walk down into that temple. Now, this was something that always stuck with me with this game, is that you get a cutscene of walking down into the temple, and it feels heavy, right? Like, for whatever reason, it's like you feel different stepping down underground in here than you do in previous Zelda games. At least I do.
I guess you get that in a couple of them in Wind Waker, when you've got your companion with you, you both kind of walk slowly into the dungeon together.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you get that, yeah.
But no, I see what you're saying. Hi.
This is Skyview Temple, and like I said, this is our first one. BC, just check in. You still doing the button controls?
I'm still doing button controls. All right. I think I'll switch it. I'll switch it up eventually, but sticking with button controls for now.
When we get down into here, one of the first things that we come across is one of the technical showpieces of this game, spider webs.
Spider webs.
That you can cut, dynamically, and there are actual physics in the way that the single strands move and all of that. I mean, they still are, like, real tight on there. It's not like it's going to be like flowing with like wind coming off of you or anything like that. Like if you run, you create a gust, right? Or anything. Like it just dangles when you cut one.
It just interacts with your sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, if you get too close.
And I'm constantly just getting too close. I'm like, all right, that's enough space. Anyways. Oh, nope. I'm stuck.
Yeah. There's like always one in the corner. I don't think this dungeon knows what it wants to be.
It wants to be annoying, is what it wants to be.
It doesn't want to be a water temple, but it does want to have some water physics.
But then it also wants to be like an ice temple.
Yeah.
And then it wants to have a forest temple, because there's forest temple creatures all over the place and webs and stuff. And
this does buck the trend of what we've seen in previous Zelda temples, dungeons, where they all have sort of a theme, an idea going into this, where this one, they throw in a lot of stuff. And I think in a lot of ways it hurts it, because you don't get into a mindset of like, okay, understand what they want me to be doing here. You just come into a new area and then they're like, okay, do this thing here. Okay, you did
stuff.
That. Do this thing here. Like, I don't know. BC, what were some notable things in here without talking about, like, you know, what are the item that we get in here? But was there something that stuck out to you in this dungeon?
I mean, just going back to the webs and how annoying those could be, because it always seems like you've cut enough until you touch it, until you try and run through. And there's a couple sections where they have the sculptures hanging from the webs.
Yeah.
Or, like, sometimes they're hanging from the ceiling. Sometimes they're on a physical web. And it took me forever to realize that you can't cut the web around the sculptulas.
which I wanted to do.
Yeah, which is what I was like, oh, I just need to cut it. And then it drops off. It's like, no, you actually need to go around it and then murder them from behind. Which the other thing is just the way that the sword works and the way you're supposed to kill them when they're hanging from the ceiling is you're supposed to hit them to the side. And then they flip around and you can see the weak spot on their abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hit them weird, or you're looking at the screen weird, like you're off axis when you're looking at them to swing, they'll just swing towards you and you keep getting hit by them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And I think the other standout is the eye puzzles, which...
I was hoping you'd bring this up because, you know...
it's the first big thing we get to is just this stop right here and look up the walkthrough.
Yeah, all of us have... all three of us have been through here before. And Brian, maybe you had a memory of what happened here.
Nope.
Okay. BC, I want you to walk me through how this interaction worked for you.
Okay, so I walked into the room. And there's this, the way the puzzle's set up is that there is an eye above the door, classic. And so Zelda, It's Zelda. We hate eyes. We want to poke them out.
We want to shove arrows into them always.
Yeah, we want to shove arrows into them.
Especially when they close, at like when you get close or far away, you're like, ooh, this eye is like, oh, he's got, like, I don't know, he's trying something funny on me. I gotta take care of this eye.
Yeah. So the first attempt is obviously to shoot the eye, and then I realize it was like closing, and it's like, okay, I need to do something specific, and I like walk down and around, and they're like, there's a little plaque that says, hey, this eye follows pointy objects. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I can like hold out my sword and I just have to like jump attack off of the wall.
Oh, no.
But I couldn't figure out how to do that at all.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I can raise my sword and shoot out a sword beam.
And aha, so see?
I spent several minutes trying to figure out, oh, do I need to sword beam horizontally at an angle? Am I messing something up?
These are all things you were describing my experiences exactly.
It's reasonable. It's reasonable to think this is what you're supposed to do.
I saw that stone on the ground and was like, oh, thank goodness, a friend.
Yeah.
No.
It looks at a pointy thing. It's like, well, I've been poking out eyes in these games for decades, so I need to poke this eye out. But all you had to do is swirl your controller around or your arms.
Yeah.
How did you get to this? I want to, like, I mean.
Oh, no, I literally looked it up because I was like, yeah.
See, because then here's what comes in next is that we have our own walkthrough person with us inside, you know, like hanging out with us. Fee Fi, no, I'm not going there. So I asked her everything I could. Everything. I went through all of her little, you know, drop down tree menus and just got nothing from her. I was like, what am I supposed to do? I don't want to look it up, but I've exhausted everything I can think of and every resource the game gives me. So
there is okay. So there is something that both of you missed in this room. That is very, it's easy to not pick up on. And especially because, like, if, say, Brian, you're playing this on the original hardware, if you're playing it, are you playing it on like an HD TV or using like a CRT or something? Like,
yeah, I can't feed it through my, I mean, I guess if I got the,
but the visual quality is poor. The thing is, along the wall, there are murals of eyeballs with spirals inside of them.
Okay.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So that was supposed to be like your final.
Pay attention
hint there.
To what the ancient architecture says. You know, I forgot what Navi. I forget that quote from Navi.
But nothing else in this dungeon uses stuff on the walls to tell you things. It's not like we were told to pay attention to the architecture or anything like that, right? Like, you know, you are all forgiven for being like, I don't know what to do here. I only knew this because I have flashbacks of Miyamoto on stage, like circling his thing around to get people to do stuff, like to get an eye to look somewhere. Like,
and that's what I would have done probably the first time I played through this game, because that E3 would have been
fresh in your mind. Yeah.
For the good reasons, not the connectivity issues they had during that showcase.
Right. So it wouldn't be a Zelda dungeon without a special item. Tika, what's this new item that we get in here?
The new item is a little beetle guy. Oh, it's cute. It's a beetle.
Don't worry. Trust us, it's cute.
It picks stuff up, it flies around, you can use it to hit switches and stuff. And enemies, and run into walls, and run into walls, and run into walls.
You can do that one, yes.
Speaking of that E3, and what I do remember, and it has been the takeaway, apparently, from all those years ago, is the little beetle guy, and it not working correctly on stage.
I had only known about this item from Super Smash Bros., so it was cool.
Oh, right.
Oh, this is the origin, yes. But why is it just named Beetle? Like, it's just Beetle. You pick it up.
We already have a Beetle, a person named Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
We're also collecting Beetles.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also just Beetle.
Beetle.
And then we get a Beetle later that's a Dung Beetle, but they don't call it that. And they're very coy about it. And I'm just like, Bill, just You're being convoluted for no reason, Bill.
I think...
You have a beetle in front of you.
I think the problem is that someone on this design team was like, you know what I like? Beetles. I'm gonna put in so many beetles. This one is the worst one. It's the most useful beetle, but it's also my least favorite beetle.
The item?
Yeah, it's such a pain to control.
It does this weird thing where your trajectory isn't standard. It always levels itself out like you're flying an actual drone. So if you are going forward and you're going up and you let go, it just automatically levels off and goes straight.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is really confusing when you're trying to, because you can aim it. And so it's like, all right, I'm aiming it to fly up. And you think it's going to go in the direction you're going. Like, you point it, and it does that for, like, 2 seconds. And then it's just like, whoop.
Yep. And then it's like, I am sideways again. Ha-ha! We are flying straight. And you're like, no. That's not what I wanted.
It's you're never sure what you can and cannot hit with it. Because, like, you can hit enemies with it. Like, you can hit a Kisk with it. It's not practical, but you can. but other things, if you just clip them. Like, if you clip a heart piece... it's going to just fall over and return back to you. But you can pick up, like, rupees, so...
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, making sharp turns when I need to, which is just the machine itself doesn't turn very... it doesn't have a very sharp turn to it. On the Wii Motion Plus, it's been mostly okay.
Yeah, I like controlling it actually with the motion. I think it works.
I just meant like on original hardware. I haven't really run into too many problems with it. So yeah.
The thing is, it's not like playing this on the Switch. It's with the motion controls for the Switch and the Joy-Cons. They didn't like redo like how you control. It's still you have like 6 points.
They didn't really
like
have
it's
to.
Six up. It's still like a 6-point directional thing in terms of sword slashing. It's still done the exact same way as anything else. Yeah, they didn't have to, so they didn't. And so generally, as long as your Wii Motion Plus isn't just broken, like you and I should have sort of the same experience for the motion controls.
Yeah, because it after playing through all of Galaxy, it just. And then going back and playing this, I'm just like, no, the Wii Motion Plus is really what they kind of, they found, whenever they found this thing, they're like, this is pretty sufficient. This will work for cheaply for years for us, this kind of technology. So I doubt that they've uploaded it. I doubt they've updated it much in the years since.
Right. We come across another enemy on here. So we did have a mini boss with the Staphos. That was, again, just, this is what really made me feel like this game is just a test. This is just like, it's not like I'm going on an adventure. It's just, okay, I'm holding my arms parallel. So you can only do parallel right now. Okay, they're vertical now. Now do it vertical. And that's all it is with these battles. And I know that there's like more interesting enemies and bosses later in this game. But this section in particular, we're just being challenged to slice either vertically or horizontally, like consistently. And that's like all they're asking us to do when we're fighting things here so far. We come across this other like three-headed snake thing that also does a similar kind of thing where you have to hit all three at the same time in order to kill it. If you only get two of the three heads in one swipe, they all come back again, and then they lunge at you and attack you or whatever. And it's boring, right? Like, they made a more interesting mechanic in terms of, like, how we interact with the game, how we do sword fighting and all that stuff. But then they just made it boring tests the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, three-skulled, like, worm thing... I killed on the first strike. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm locked in this thing and it was supposed to be a fight, but I killed it in 2 seconds and now the room's unlocked. So
yeah, because if you let it go, that fight go on a little bit more, it will move its heads into, like, it'll move them around so you can swing way too early and hit two of them before it sets it into position. But right off the bat, like, yeah, you can just get a pattern that's easy and boop, done.
Right. I did want to bring up one more thing with the fighting, and that is with the Sculptulas. I actually like the fact that they intentionally gave you basically like three different ways to fight them throughout this, where you have ones that are hanging really high up in the ceiling that you can use the beetle to snip their
web. Oh, for the babas?
And no.
You do it for the babas as well, though.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. But with
the spiders. Sorry. Yes. Yes.
They will fall down, and then if you get, you can run up to them and you can do the deadly strike on them. You do have the ones where you have to hit them, like BC was talking about, where they swing like a pendulum, and then you can spin around and get them. But then you also have like sort of a one-on-one face-to-face battle with them, and this is where like when you figure out how you're supposed to do that, because they are basically armored everywhere except for their underside. And so the question is, how do you get mm-hmm. to their underside? And you can do that by flipping them. And you do that by using your sword going from down to up near them. And that flips them on their back. And then you can do a deadly strike to take them out that way.
Is that what I did? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how I did that. So, okay, cool. That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
They like, and they flail all their legs in the air and they get all creepy. Gross.
Yeah.
Hate it.
I'm fine with the, like, the Stalfos doing the, like, the sword guarding thing. If they then punish you in some way for messing it up, and maybe they don't even really have to punish you, but if you hit them, a lot of the enemies in this game, if you hit them, you will, like, reset their animation or their cycle or whatever attack they're about to go into. And you can basically just infinitely have a standoff with these guys because they're never going to get past whatever guarding motion they start off in before they go in for an attack.
The stuff was, and I think, just, did yeah. have a counter if you hit him wrong, but it was pretty easy to avoid. And I know for yeah. the babas that switch between horizontal and vertical, I eventually yeah. was just like, okay, I'm just going to slash up every time. And
yeah,
if I'm wrong, it just resets it and I'll eventually kill you.
Yeah, yeah. I got time. Yeah. I can do this.
Tegan, before we get to the boss of this, were there any other parts of this dungeon you wanted to bring up that stood out to you?
Not really. This dungeon is very much like a tutorial dungeon without tutorializing any one thing, which I think is the part that makes it feel like it's a salad, but not a very good salad.
Yes.
Like, they're trying yeah. to teach you so many mechanics at once, without really allowing you the time to, like, perfect any of them, you know?
No, that yeah. makes a lot of sense.
So,
I mean, there's a lot to teach here, I guess, with just the medium that they're expecting from you. So, yeah. Because, I think Twilight Princess, its first dungeon, does some teaching and mm-hmm. stuff like that, but ended up being one of my favorite dungeons from that game. Just with the kind of, and there was a little bit of openness to this one. That first big room you step in has a bunch of different little winding paths to them.
Right.
And like spaces to check out, which was kind of cool, but you still had to go to the one side and then to the other to move on through to the middle again. But yeah.
And this dungeon also does introduce like another new thing for this game in particular in the boss key specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not just this is a key and then you walk up to the door and you stick it in. It's like, this also is a 3D puzzle. Ha ha.
Motion controls.
Motion control yourself to turn and then get it the right shape so it slides into the door. And I was like, I hate this.
Yeah. I forgot to come up with a funny name for it because I was mad at it the whole time.
Yeah, no, it's it's not even a fun puzzle, right? It's not a clever puzzle. It's not like, you know, oh, I've got different pieces and they fit together and they could be different things. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's just spin the thing around and eventually it glows too. So it's not even like, oh, yeah, is this going to work? No, it doesn't. It's just like, yeah, here it is. Go, you know.
See you later. Like, and I'm good. Like, okay, bye, I guess. That was an experience.
Yeah, I love the idea. You open up the treasure chest for it and Link like holds it up in the air. And he's just like, it's a key. And you're like, you're sure about that? You're sure it's not?
You totally
like...
can tell it's a key from that? Like,
from the chest. Right. Because the chest it was in, we could tell it was a key.
Okay. I was going to be like, this is something my 3D printer made when the file was corrupted. It's just this random shape.
I feel like this is going to be a thing similar to, was it Phantom Hourglass, where we had the whole mechanic of, you pick up the boss key and you have to transport it back to the actual boss door and don't drop it. But it wasn't until 3/4 of the way into the game where we actually had to do something engaging with the boss key or have
challenging
some sort of threat
really
around us. It was
and
so okay, you have this thing rotated around for 5 seconds. I hope it's not just that every time.
Like, what's the progress? That's a good point. What's the progression from here? Like, where could we see this going somewhere that isn't just awful?
I love the term that Tegan used of salad, because I feel like that's what this game is going to be beginning.
I just meant
end.
The key.
That's what I'm saying. I think the key is going to stay this boring little thing that we find, and it's going to be just this distraction for 5 seconds every single time that doesn't ever feel satisfying, but we're going to put it in there. Right.
Okay.
Like,
so it's like the one cherry tomato that got put on at the end.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
All right, thanks, I guess. Right. I get one mouthful of tomato.
We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we are going to see what's waiting for us on the other side of this door.
Hi, everybody. My name's Tegan Somerset.
I'm Rocky Hardy.
And I'm Brian Cartwright.
And we are Impossible Coin, a podcast about video games. Join us every other week as we discuss gaming news.
Did you know he tried to smuggle $100,000 across the Canadian border?
Genre differences.
Sometimes it's your turn to press the button, and sometimes it's your turn to block.
And deep lore. I've spent so long on this, Brian, you can't do this to me.
We will sell you nothing and solve none of your problems, but we sure are fun.
Impossible Coin,
a podcast about video games. See you on Thursdays.
Superhero stuff. You should know. Go deeper than you've gone before into your favorite comic book films, storylines, and characters.
Superhero stuff. You should know.
I'm part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
Hi, we're Ellen,
Steven,
and Mark,
hosts of Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
Topics include programming, design, tools, and more.
We also do interviews and one-hour game jams.
Listen to Nice Games Club wherever you get to your... wherever you get to your podcast. You get there. Or at nicegames.club.
Hello, fans. As part of the HyperX Podcast Network, we're letting you know that this year is HyperX's 20th birthday. To celebrate, they're offering some great deals on their award-winning gaming gear. If you're in the market for a new headset, a new microphone, blue light blocking eyewear, or any other number of other high-quality other HyperX products, head on over to HyperX20.com to check out all the birthday deals. Once again, check out the HyperX 20th birthday party sale over at HyperX.com.
We are back. We are on the other side of this boss door, and oddly enough, like, there wasn't a boss waiting for us necessarily. Like, I mean, there was a guy. We're going to have a boss battle here, but it wasn't like a creature that was sitting here. We were told that Zelda was on the other side of this door. You know, Fi kept saying...
Well, we've
saying,
been told that like a million times.
And we're going to be...
So far.
We're going to get told that a million times more.
Yeah.
This game shouldn't have been called The Legend of Zelda. It should have been called In the Search of Zelda or something like that.
Zelda's missing.
Yeah, Zelda is missing. That's what they should have just called it.
The Legend of Zelda is missing.
Yeah. Yes. It's like chasing.
No.
It's like chasing Godot or whatever.
Oh yeah, waiting for Godot.
Yeah, exactly.
Waiting for Godot.
Trying to find Zelda.
Yeah, so
this should have had like a Resident Evil 1 or 2. Well, I guess all of them basically. Like second quest, like we should have gotten to play whatever she was doing this whole time.
Oh, that would actually be kind of cool.
That's what I thought. Like we were gonna get something like that. It just seemed like they kept setting it up.
Tegan and myself, otherwise, no comments.
Otherwise, you're just getting told like over and over again, oh yeah, your rival was just here. He beat the crap out of the gym leader and got the badge. Oh well.
Yeah, yeah. But we do meet a new character. We did see his feet earlier, and now we can see the rest of his fantastic Ooh. Self. And this is Girahim. At least that's how I pronounce it. Brian?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. I don't know if that's something maybe because you'd heard the name said before, possibly by me.
I mean, at this point, you know, most of the things, the big stuff, yeah, like we have the internet. So by this point, so a lot of the stuff you hear the way people say it or how they're saying it or whatever.
Tegan, do you say it differently?
No, I'm also on Team Girahim.
All right, BZ.
I didn't even really pronounce it in my head, but Girahim sounds good. Girahim? Okay. Girahim? Yeah.
Okay. I've always said it that way. So few people I had heard actually like talking over the years about this game, so I did not hear this name that often. But yeah, Tegan, anytime we get some new name like this, we do have to pause and just be like, everyone pronounce it.
Everyone say it. The name.
How was it said on your playground?
Amazing.
Tegan, why don't you go ahead and introduce Girahim to us here?
Girahim,
how do we meet him?
He's a pervert.
True.
Yeah.
He just knows what he likes.
Yeah,
right?
He knows exactly what he likes, and he likes blonde boys in green tunics.
That's why we're here.
Right, exactly. He threatens you, and then he teleports behind you, and he does this snake tongue thing. Oh, very sensual, very gross. And then you
I had to put my Wii down for a minute.
Yeah. For the anime fans out there, Girahim is essentially Hisoka from Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, to a T, especially the part about being too interested in tiny protagonist boys.
He's in a very excellent, like, diamond-patterned unitard that does show the correct amount of skin, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's got, like, the big anime antagonist one eye bang thing going on, and he does his own like magic effect, which is new for this sort of situation, where whenever he disappears it's in a diamond pattern, which is fun.
He loves them diamonds. He does have a giant crystal earring as well. I kept thinking, I was like, I wonder if I use my slingshot and just hit that earring, if that'll like, it'll turn red, and then that's how I kill him.
Oh, that would have been fun. That would have been a good mechanic.
As I say, shout outs to our friends, but then I realized, Tegan, you're also friends with them. Shout outs to our mutual friends over at the Spirit Hunters.
Mutual friends at the Spirit Hunters. Hello.
Yes. But yeah, so Girahim shows up and it just lays it all out. Just like, yeah, I'm a villain. I'm after Zelda.
What's up?
I'm How here. Doing? I'm here to awaken Ultimate Evil. What are
this,
you doing?
This is
here,
my
boy?
Spot.
Yeah, why are
I'm
you
down
here?
I am the king of this land. You can call me the Demon King if you want. Please do. Please.
God.
And I don't know. I'm just here to stop whatever this nonsense is.
Yeah.
He thought we'd be dead by now. So.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever the Divine Maiden is doing, like, we're not gonna we're not gonna worry about it. I'm a getter.
How are you doing? So how are you doing?
Right. How you doing?
Getting into the actual battle here. I hate this. I hate it so much.
Oh no.
Okay.
I conceptually
fight a Power
Ranger?
It's the actual mechanics of it are just I had the same problem when I played this game when it first came out, and I still have the same problem now. I don't know what I'm supposed to do against him.
Okay. Mm. I don't have that problem anymore because now I have three other people to talk to. who also just went through it, because back then I had no idea what I was doing right or doing wrong, and I know for a fact that I had no one to talk to about this game at the time. So
I'm interested in hearing BC, how sorry. You do this with the button controls.
So with the button controls, this is a literal nightmare because I have no idea. Like Brian said earlier, I went through all the options that had as far as telling me more information about this enemy and what I'm supposed to do. And she's just like, you want to strike opposite his hand. It looks like he's following your sword. And I just say, his hand looks like it's doing the same thing every single time.
Every now and then it's off to the side a little bit. But for the most part, it's like in the middle. Like maybe his hand has a strike zone and it stops at the middle of his body. And I can't see it or whatever. And like when he's holding it in the middle, that means that side's wide open, or I don't know, man. I don't know. I've never known.
Tegan, do you have any secrets to reveal for us?
Yes, I do. Ironically, what is you approach him with your sword way out to one side. I turned on motion controls for this fight because it's a nightmare with the buttons only. You hold your sword out real far to one side, right? And you approach him, and his two fingers will be out the same direction as your sword. And when you get too close for him to change directions quickly, you pull your sword in and then slash it sideways. That's it. That's all you gotta do.
That's what I was trying to do.
You just go but real quick.
It didn't seem to be working.
Yeah, it's just or the quickness of my motion triggers a strike that I don't want, which is always been the problem with the Wii, going back as far as like Twilight Princess or Red Steel or something like that, is trying to like set up something and then it just swings when I don't want it to.
So my favorite one to do is to get it like put the sword up as though I were doing a goddess strike, because then his hand will be up, and then when you get real close, you can do a side slash, and his arm will stay up.
Okay.
For like an extra second as you adjust.
But that's
your sword.
Really it.
That's really it. All you got to do is just try and outmaneuver his hand. Otherwise,
and like,
he catches it in his two fingers,
which I want to say that is very badass.
Oh, it's such a power move.
He will take your sword from you, look at it, and then just being like, oh, this dumb thing. And then he just throws it back at you, and it's just on the ground. And you have to go and pick it up like a fool.
Oh, God. The first time that happened, I freaked out. I was like, why can he touch it?
I think this battle highlights one of the things I've struggled with, particularly with the button controls, is that it eschews the typical twin stick approach of, you know, one stick is looking around. So since the right stick is dedicated to the sword, managing where your camera is and where you're looking is kind of a hassle. And that is also a super important part of interacting with enemies in this game, because you have to look at how they're holding their hands, how they're holding items.
Mm-hmm.
When he throws the sword, you have to look around to actually see where he threw the sword. You can eventually he'll walk toward it and you can follow him, but because of how the controls are set up, it makes looking around at your environment a huge hassle. And then going back to Jeremy's comment about, you know, all around you there's these things on the wall that have illustrations for what you're supposed to do. Well, if the camera pans over to this eye on the wall or pans over to the platform where it's like it wants you to stand, I'm not going to look at the walls because it's so much work to go around and change my view to look at the side of the room.
There's a lot of auto camera in here. And hey, coming off of Okami, where even though that did let us use a control stick to control the camera itself would override that constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there is a lot of that. Like when I pull my net out, it just does not want to give me anything that would even approach being a useful camera angle. It just like stares at the ground, like you're here for to net the ground, right? And unless I'm targeting a bug, it's an awful angle to look at.
Right. So with Garaheim, he has multiple phases. At one point, he throws his cloak off and pulls up a sword, and then he starts. This is where it's a lot more clear, right? Because you can see his sword at different points, right? Like you have a better idea of it then. So that is like really clear and like, okay, do your slashes there and all that. He also
does the shoots like a bunch of crap at us in like a straight line, and I could never time it correctly to hit all of them.
Oh, I just dodged it every time.
Yeah,
I just
you can just dodge it. You don't have to hit those back. It's helpful, but you don't have to. It's not required.
Yeah, but I could never make it like, because if you didn't hit, I'm assuming you have to hit all of them in order for it to do anything, which I was never able to do. So
you can assume that. I don't think anyone here will be able to confirm it for you.
Yeah, we just rolled.
Yeah.
He also has just like a lunge attack that he really
devastating.
He really shows that though. Like it, like he's like, all right, I'm crouching down. Here we go. I'm running at you. And then like, I never got hit by that either. I was just like, roll out of the way, man.
Oh, I got hit by that.
I dodged
multiple
out of
times.
That.
Oh God.
Really?
It hurts so much.
Oh yeah. It's devastating. Like I was able to avoid it plenty of times, but sometimes no. But it was one of the few things I knew for a fact, like I could get away from.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also hoping that I could then turn that into points, you know, like I could get it and hit him, but it never really worked.
But after we do that enough, he leaves. He says he's bored with all this. He says like Zelda's not even here anymore.
Yeah, it took a half an hour. I'd be bored too.
But he points out that like Zelda's energy is no longer here, so she must have moved on. He's ready to leave.
Yeah, it's been a half an hour. I'm sure I would have moved on too.
So we finish Garaheim, at least the battle with him. He leaves, and we go out and we see this like beautiful oasis looking thing with a shrine out there that we can go up to and do our skyward beam towards. And then we get a cutscene where Fi goes and says that she is translating a message from the gods for us. That what do we got, BC? What?
Yeah, she's translating a message from the gods and then running around full speed ice skating.
Yeah,
instead
in the
of
air.
Yeah, it's like, can you just talk to me? Do you have to do this?
Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure she is supposed to be singing right now. I think that's the implication is that this is a song that she is like, or at least a poem sort of thing. Like, and there's like something to it.
It's
about
interpretive.
Like, yeah. There's meant to be art to what she is doing here. It's not two different things where she's like, oh, I've got a message for you. Anyway, I want to go skating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if this voicemail from the gods needs an interpretive dance. I don't know if it necessitates that.
And we all know. We all know where we are now, right? We know where we are in this particular location.
The Deku Tree?
Can I say we're in the Spring of Courage? It's the Spring of Courage for Breath of the Wild.
This is the exact same
location, the exact same pillar placement, the whole thing. This is the Spring of Courage. Ah, it's so cool. I love it so much.
It is in the same place.
I will provide for you, for the chat, a side-by-side of the locales.
She's got
already,
notes, listeners.
No, it's I see
it's
it.
It's right there. You. It's the Spring of Courage. Oh, it's so good. I love it so much.
Yeah.
This is why when I was on for the Breath of the Wild thing, I was like, I can't talk about anything because you guys haven't played Skyward Sword yet.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we're going to see more of that. We already mentioned that at the beginning when we had the goddess statue in Skyloft about how it looked the same as the one in, or the we see a few of those in Breath of the Wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I asked it on the show or if I just asked you at some point during, it may be on the show during the Breath of the Wild season, but I was like, is there anything crazy you've seen in the story of Breath of the Wild so far that tells me, hey, they're pulling crap out of Skyward Sword that you're not going to pick up on? Do I need to stop and go play Skyward Sword? And you're like, other than the, you've seen the giant goddess statue, right? And I was like, yeah. And you're like, other than that, I can't think of anything. So,
I'm over here that's, foaming at the mouth like, mm-hmm. listen.
God.
Now have you looked at the entire map? Have you overlaid the maps together?
Yes. A little bit. But I stay away from Skyward Sword stuff, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Man. All right.
It's going to be so important. It's going to be so important for Breath of the Wild 2. When I say it's so important for Breath of the Wild 2, I am not exaggerating.
So, back to what Fi is telling us. She says that this is a message from the gods of saying that the princess that fell from the sky is currently going to these different shrines and blessing them as is like necessary for what is transpiring here. And that's where we get the information that she has moved on to the Elden Volcano. And so that's where we're told like, okay, here's the ruby stone. That is another stone slab that we can go and take back to Skyloft to give us a new location.
Your princess is in another temple. Mm-hmm.
Basically, yes.
Time to go get the Elden Ring.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Before we end the episode, we'll jump back up into the sky for a minute because there's still some things that we have in here that we haven't talked about. There is the pumpkin place that you can go to, the Lumpy Pumpkin. Did you all go to there?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now,
I went there first and messed it up, and then I went there again because they had a chest, so.
Yeah, they really baited us there because they hid a heart piece up on the chandelier, and you're like, well, I gotta figure out how to get to that chandelier.
Yeah.
And you only have so many things that you're allowed to do inside of a house because you're not allowed to use your items or your weapons. And so all that's really left to do is just sort of like throw yourself at the wall, which just causes the chandelier to come crashing down on the main table, freaking everybody out. And the owner's like, you get down here right now. And you're like, on my way. Oh, wait, here's a heart piece. Sorry, I go pick this up real quick. Anyways, you were saying,
well, let me help you clean up a bit.
It was like, your punishment is a new quest line. They're like, oh, darn.
Oh, no, more things to do. However will I survive?
Before I start this big Goron sword-esque quest line, is it worth it?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I just, like, because we'll get into another thing, too, that I think this ties into it. Did you guys talk to the monster of Skyloft?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's
okay.
That's an adorable character.
Oh, yeah. So
as soon as I had forgotten about him until I saw him, and then when I did, I was like, oh, how could I forget about my best friend? What happened?
Right. A little girl gets kidnapped at Skyloft, and then you're investigating it. You come across you have to, like, solve this little puzzle at the graveyard that opens a door that takes you underneath Skyloft to this rickety old house, like, stuck into the walls. And before you get in there, you hear a scream, and then you go in.
It's got like a RE4 scaffolding leading to it.
Sure, yeah.
You can't jump off and hop onto your bird for some reason. Nope. It makes me angry.
No, we've said this before. You're only allowed to hop off on your bird on designated platforms.
Well, it's a crappy little platform. I figured it would suffice.
But we get into there and you see this just like towering creature. And I don't think I ever picked up on this in the original. Like, you can see his eyes. Like, his eyes are these tiny little beads, like, real close together. But he has this, like, I don't know, almost like plumage or color on his face that make it look like they're giant yellow eyes. But really, he's just got these tiny little
right.
ones.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little fight scene where he turns around and you pull your sword out. You hit him, and he's immediately like, oh, stop, please.
I put my sword away. I was like, friend.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah. They make you swing on them. It's kind of sad because if you talk to the little girl before you do it, she's like, why are you so upset? Did something scare you?
But he explains to us the meaning of gratitude and opens up a whole new quest line where we will get opportunities to help people out, and they will give us these are the Mario
the little medallions from Minish Cap, basically.
Well, no, but the actual currency is the Mario Galaxy little star things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Star bits.
They're the star bits. Yeah. Which
well,
is
and the
weird.
Star fragments in Breath of the Wild, sort of like the.
That hasn't happened yet. Doesn't count.
Okay, fine. Fine.
But yeah, so we will be getting this currency, and every time we get so much of it, we can go check in with him. I believe the first thing he gives us is a bigger wallet. Mm-hmm. If we go there's one where you go out there, and after you meet him and do all that, you go back to the mother. The mother thanks you, gives you that. You go back to him.
Thank you.
He gives you a bigger wallet. So there are bigger wallets, and then there are wallet expansions. This is another thing I got to talk about in this game that I don't like.
Yeah. There's a lot to get to with that.
Yeah. So I think he gives you either an expansion or a bigger wallet. I can't remember which one.
He gives you the wallet that lets you hold 500.
So that's just the bigger wallet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you can have a plus expansion on your wallet. If you go back out, you do get another prompt for someone else that you can go and help their sister out, because their bird had gotten sick on an island. And you go back and forth, you do that, you get some more, then you get a heart piece for that.
Mushroom spores, mm-hmm. really effective on
giant
whatever
birds.
Happened to that Skyloft.
Yes.
The Loftwing, sorry.
We can bring it up. I don't think it's really important. There is a chopping minigame that you can find. There's like a bamboo forest island.
It's rigged.
That you have to swipe as fast as you can. And it's just like, the thing is, you only get material from it. So if you want to like try to collect, and it's a lottery each time. So it's not like you're consistently getting the same things. It's not an effective way to do it. If you find
he makes you stand like 12 feet away from it.
Whereas
like I walked into the room and saw a giant, you know, bamboo shoot and was like, oh, cool. And like thwacked it down 40 times on its way down because I got to stand right next to it. And he's like, no, you have to stand over here across the room and then try and hit it. Mm. Okay. Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything else up here to bring up at this moment. There's still like a mini game that hasn't opened up yet. So maybe we'll talk about it in not the next episode, but the episode after that, maybe. Anything
cool.
else?
That's, I think, everything you can do right now if you didn't get all of the goddess cubes in the forest.
Right.
Because otherwise you're just filling out goddess cubes, which mostly have rupees in them and sometimes have other stuff. But like the stuff in the goddess cubes isn't like the most useful, so.
That's good to know, because I forgot that goddess cubes were a thing. And then I was like, what's up with these weird blocks? And then I remembered.
I mean, I got one of the treasure chests had like 300 rupees in it. One of them had another expansion slot, which I need to talk about for a second, because I didn't realize you can buy a satchel for your seeds. Mm-hmm. But you could also buy multiple satchels for your seeds, and those take up inventory slots.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can upgrade those satchels, but those still take up space. And mm-hmm. so like I had two satchels in my inventory, and I had a thing where it was just like, oh, you don't have room for this. I got like a medallion finally. I got my first medallion that you also have to hold in your inventory space. But I'm fine with that if it's like something more useful. And so I had to go and take it back.
You got to go back to town.
And go to the bazaar, which I do love the bazaar, so I'm not complaining about that.
No. This is all fine. You still, but you got to go back, and you got to shuffle your stuff around.
You got to go back, and you got to talk to your girlfriend.
Yes.
You got to talk to your girlfriend.
So weird.
And ask her to hold your stuff.
It's such a weird question you get prompted on there, where she's just bored, and she's just like, oh, are you here because you like me? And then you're
like, yes.
Yeah.
And yes, I am.
And then she's like, shut up. Anyways.
She's like, no.
She's like, no, you're not. And then like, but the more you talk to her, the more she's like, maybe he does like me. It's very cute. I think she's very cute. Mm-hmm. I love Patrice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, again, great voices. Yeah, I love the blacksmith's voice.
Cue-cue.
Anyways, we will wrap up this episode here. For the next episode, we are getting to the entrance of the next temple. It's going to be real obvious. You get up there, you got to find parts of keys at the end. Get the five parts keys? And then go ahead and say,
I mean, I've been slashing those in half all the time. Yeah. All day.
Now stitch them back together and shove them into a keyhole.
Ooh, a
keyhole. A keyhole. But go do all that. Explore the Elden Volcano. Get another item. And some other cool stuff. Collect some dung beetles or whatever Bill called them in this. And then we will meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
I am punching the salad.
you Dane? To besmirch the name of the water chestnut.
Water chestnuts are superior.
Dude, in stir fry. Yeah.
Am
I the odd one here, BC? Where you sit on this?
I enjoy water chestnuts.
Okay, I'm the odd one here. I hate them. I think they don't taste like anything. They're just this weird wet crunch that's not even a satisfying crunch.
That's what I'm saying. You put it in a good stir fry, it's...
Imagine if a crunch could also be squishy. That's water chestnuts, baby.
I think there are better things to add crunch to a salad than a water chestnut.
Absolutely.
So I'm there with you on that one.
Anyway.
All right.